With this Fifi, Dave, Feb and Byron catch up, you've got the freedom to listen wherever and whenever you like. Thanks to Jeep's Freedom Days, you could win one of seven $7,000 vouchers to put towards your ultimate holiday that represents freedom. See jeepfreedom.com.au for details.
We all love sport in Melbourne. Fev, you are a very...
Champion.
Champion.
Yep, correct. That's what I thought you were going to say.
But we often don't realise. Sorry, you made me laugh. You definitely are a champion.
And made our guest laugh. Sorry, I had her volume up.
Sport's not easy for everybody, and we're about to be joined by the wonderful Angie Green. Angie, are you there?
Yes, good morning, everyone.
Excellent. Now, Angie, you have a wonderful story, and Melbourne know you very well now, obviously. Your dad, Russell, and Steve, your brother, who I know, both AFL players. And you have written a wonderful piece today in the Herald Sun about the experience for your brother, on behalf of your brother, Brent, and how he didn't necessarily follow in Steve's footsteps or your father's footsteps in group sport because of his own personal issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thank Brent and my family so much for their support because I would never violate anyone's personal story. And I must say, just for my own peace of mind, that both of my brothers now, as you know, early 30s, are so happy, successful, strong, beautiful people. But certainly when Brent was younger, around the age of 14 and 15, intentionally excluded himself from male team-dominated sports because he was gay and because the culture was consumed with intentional and unintentional homophobic behaviour and language. And he really struggled with that, and unfortunately the reality that there are many non-hetero and gender diverse people who exclude themselves from sports at a young age because they A, don't feel welcome, or they feel incredibly they feel shame because of who they are and they don't want to be involved in that culture.
Angie, it's Fev. How are you going, mate?
Hey, Fev. How are you?
I'm good, dude. Hey, so with obviously your brother didn't want to go down that path, but there's 700 AFL footballers running around now. Do you think that there is a gay footballer running around? Because the percentages would say there is, and if so, why don't you think they come out, especially with how it's gone? You know, in the last sort of year or two, you know, everyone's been standing up for homophobia and equalisation in marriage and all that sort of stuff. Why hasn't someone come forward?
Look, this is just my personal perception. I think historically, I mean, obviously there are no openly and never have been any openly AFL and VFL gay players. I can speak confidently that there are current footballers who are playing who do not feel as though that they can be themselves in the group culture. And it's been really interesting to date. Stand Up Events, the charity that I founded, is dedicated to fighting sexual and gender discrimination in sport and in life. And to date, I've spoken to, I think it's 15 football clubs, or all the way from, you know, grassroots level to AFL level. And the language that is still there is, the derogatory language is still absolutely prevalent and undeniable, and we have a bunch of incredible ambassadors, and even they have admitted, and these are the guys that call out the language and behaviour and things like that, but even they've admitted that it's still currently not an inclusive space purely because of the type of language that I don't think often people are aware of how damaging certain words can be for people who desperately trying to be themselves but feel like they can't be.
Yeah, and Angie, you're right, it's the intentional and unintentional language and behaviour that I think people aren't necessarily aware of. And Angie, you do such a great job as the CEO of Stand Up Events, and you've made such an impact. So thank you for sharing that, the story about your brother Brent, and thank you for coming on the show. Because we were thinking 13 10 60, if there's anyone listening who has, because of their sexuality, avoided team sports and opted for individual sports because of that culture. Because it is interesting that we don't recognise, we all talk about, no, we're all inclusive now, yeah, we're all fine, we're not homophobic anymore. But there are behaviours in teams that can really isolate and ostracise people. So 131060, has this been your experience?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Wow. We just had a chat with Angie Green and she's shared a wonderful personal story in today's Herald Sun about the experience her brother, she's got Steve and her dad, Russell, both AFL players, and her brother Brent, who opted for individual sports, not team sports, because of not just homophobia, but latent homophobia through unintentional derogatory terms that get thrown around a sports team. And we were talking about that. And sometimes when you are, because of your sexuality, for whatever reasons in those environments, you can feel shame and guilt and embarrassment. And they're the barriers we're obviously all trying to break down. But we did say, 131060, if there's anyone who similarly has avoided team sports because of their sexuality. And we've got Brenton from Footscray on the line. Hi, Brenton.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, Brenton. Thanks for calling in to share your experience.
That's all right.
So, Brenton, what did you, from a young age, decide team sports weren't right for you, didn't feel right?
Yeah, look, all of my... I had three brothers. They all played football in the country, and I tried to play with them, and I was never comfortable in the environment there. It was... There was always something... It was never... Well, at that age, I was in my early teens. I didn't really understand my own sexuality at the time, but it was never a comfortable place because of all this sort of,
the machoism.
Well, did you, Brenton? Did you feel that way because you were trying to come to grips with it yourself, and also not knowing your own body and how it's developing when you got players there? Is that just insecurities, or was it actually stuff at the footy club where they were, you know, saying stuff that was obviously hurtful?
Well, a lot of it's insecurity, but then none of it would be directed directly at me or anyone else. It was just, you know, these are the terms we use for when whatever happens.
Yeah.
And it's just accepted. And it was like, oh, that call was gay. That ref's whatever.
Brenda, would it be the machoism? There's a part of a football team that maybe, I find it intimidating. So I can imagine, I can understand that, particularly with three brothers too, Brenton, all playing footy. Thank you for sharing that. That's it's really insightful. I think it's really good for other kids to hear that, and we've been talking a lot about inclusion lately and the way our behaviours affect other people around us, and it's just something to be mindful of with team sports as well.
We had Angie Green on only minutes ago, if you've just tuned in, and she straight out said that she knows there are gay players in the AFL who, for whatever reason, are not comfortable to share that. And that's their call, but for whatever reason, they're not comfortable to share that. So could there still be that culture? I mean, all these things will be discussed.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Hey, did you hear that the Biebs, Justin Bieber, had a shoe thrown at him? Fev, it was at the Summer Bust Festival in Stockholm, Sweden, on the weekend.
It's been a lot of shoe action, hasn't there?
A lot of shoe action. The pop star said he couldn't remember the lyrics to his Spanish hit Despacito.
Despacito.
I'd said that.
You did.
I said Despacito.
Actually, face it better.
Thank you.
Okay.
Funny you'd correct me.
Why would you do that?
I don't think our Puerto Rican audience would agree.
I think that would agree.
Geez. I think Zimendos, I said it far better Peri than you Peri. Did. There you go. Happy.
It's Portuguese.
Then a fan in the crowd. So Bieber's had the shoe thrown at him. Then a fan in the crowd showed his disappointment by throwing his shoe at Bieber in disgust.
Oh.
So, and as a world exclusive, for our audience this morning, and I say exclusive, we have the yet unnamed perpetrator, the shoe thrower, on the phone now. Hello, are you there?
I may as well come clean. It was me, Sir Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart, the actor?
The very one! Even though I'm a highly acclaimed actor on both screen and stage, I also love grinding up on some hotties at exotic music festivals. You should see me dap, sweetheart. Ain't no party like a Patrick Stewart party, because a Patrick Stewart party don't stop.
Really?
Oh, for shizzle. And as you've seen from my antics at the Canadian Grand Prix on the weekend, I also love a shooey.
Oh, the shooey where you pour a drink into the shoe and then you scull it.
Oh, you bet your sweet tushy I love pounding down a cold one in some tinier-infested tennis shoes. So, as I was saying, I'm shaking my caboose like a boss at the Summer Bust Festival, and the teenage girl they call Justin Bieber saunters onto the stage and warbles out some of that high-pitched yodeling he likes to call music, but then refuses to sing a song because he'd forgotten the words, forgotten the bloody words to his own song.
Sir Patrick, you seem very annoyed by this.
Oh, I am, and I was. I mean, come on, man. Most of us are happy if we forget your poor excuse for music, but your job is not only to remember it, but to belt it out so teenage girls lose their minds like they're at a stock take sale at Supre.
But why did you throw a shoe at him?
Well, it was easier to do that than write a one-star review on iTunes. I mean, I'd finished drinking it out, so I turfed it at the little princess. Then I hopped out of the festival, up to the eyeball in vodka Red Bull shoey, sauntered around Stockholm, drunkenly bought some IKEA furniture, then took the red-eye back to London to perform a Beckett play the next night in the West End. I know I'm already a sir, but goddammit, the Queen should knight me as a goddamn boss. P.S. out!
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Guys, we shouldn't be proud. We have topped a list that's not ideal. Apparently Australians aren't the best tourists in the world. We're a bit unruly.
I saw this.
Someone put my mics on.
There we go.
He's got about four.
Thorno's first singer that he got off at 10 to 8 this morning was stopped by a silent microphone. AB, if you're listening, tomorrow I just won't come in.
You did this on the project yesterday.
Yeah, we talked about this. That's right. And so, yeah, Australians are getting a bad rap from other countries, apparently, you know, the way we behave. And I do agree. Look, I think it's interesting. I think when you go to another country, it is important to... It's like when you visit a friend's house. You know, you don't go to your mate's house and just smash all the china off the shelf.
No,
and
you've
like
got to put in the
food on the carpet.
You've got to put it in. So just say, you say going to a friend's house. So if I was going to someone else's house, it's like going to Thailand and stuff.
Yes.
Your party. Like, hey, house party. But if I'm going to a good friend's house, it's like I'm going to, you know, London and I'm going out for dinner.
Hang on,
and
Thailand deserves that kind of respect.
No, it doesn't. That's a party. Party, yeah, Bali,
but
those
you
things.
You ask the Thai people, they might
that's
not
a house
see their
party.
Places.
That's
yeah,
a house
but
party.
They didn't ask for the house party. Yeah.
But hold on.
It's cheap.
Even if I've got a granny flat out the back and it's my bucks party, if my mate turns up in a Bing Tang t-shirt and has a dump in the corner, I'm still like, whoa, bro.
Mate,
it's a bit too much
if you're
right
on your
now.
Bucks party, you're not going to know what's going on, bro.
Okay, Corey Worthington. Well, let's
right,
just
that's
focus.
It. Everyone wear adult diapers in Thailand.
By the way,
that is the rules now.
Fev just described an entire country as a party. Thailand is a party.
Did you watch the news thing last night?
Wow. No, here, an interesting stat I will throw in the last 12 months, 212 Australians have actually died in Thailand.
498 have been either rushed to hospital or arrested.
Jeez, yeah, that's an alarming stat.
He's paid it to 484, actually, but close. You're very close. Anyway, speaking of tourism, so Aussies, we're getting a bad rap. Jeez. But how's this? I want to take the spotlight off us for a second.
Please do.
I want to talk about Rome because...
It wasn't built in a day.
Hey! There you go. Go to your little song.
Turn Dave's
my
mic off.
My first singer, and I've been here since six.
We got him.
Okay, so how's this? Rome have decided to start fining tourists. So they've had a gutful of rude, lazy tourists. So they're now fining people who play up around the Trevi Fountain. If you're not familiar with Rome, the Trevi Fountain, a place, one of the top tourist sites, you go there, you throw money in, but people jump in, they throw other stuff in. So they're being fined. And wait for it. There's a place in Rome called the Spanish Steps. Have anyone here been to the Spanish Steps?
Oh, please. Yep.
Yeah, of course you have. They're just big steps in the middle of the town, and I've been there.
That are Spanish.
And they're now banning people from sitting on them to eat a slice of pizza or some gelato.
Come on.
So, because I know, that is, and having been to that area, there's nowhere to sit. Like, you literally buy food. It's like a food court without chairs.
See, Rome.
You need to sit.
See, Rome's just like going to your grandma's. You get punny. You have to sit in the corner. You can't go on good stuff. Not a party town.
It's so true. You're right. I know where you've hooked back to the party town business, yeah. And you're right. And
Rome's like going to your grandma's. Yeah. Oh, I've got to sit there and I get little pieces of pasta. sit down, can't get in trouble.
Yeah.
Go to Bali, put on.
Fev had an end of season trip in Rome, was walking around going, where's me buckets? Where's the buckets?
Bucket coronas.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I'm in a bit of a dilemma. My worst nightmare has happened and I had the realisation of this over the weekend.
Oh, Fev, talk us through it.
Well, I have three daughters. Obviously, everyone knows that. Lenny, Lulu, yeah, they're going well.
Yeah.
They're good.
They're children.
Yes. And Mia.
How old's Mia now?
Mia's 17, and she's getting very close to being 18, where she can do what she wants.
Be an adult.
But right now, when she lives under our roof.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Oh, he's strong-arming the situation.
I'm so not that dad, but this has really got me. So, you know, she broke up with her old boyfriend, you know, a couple of months ago, a while ago now, and I thought, beautiful. She's in year 12. Just study, hun. Get your life sorted out. You're going really well at school. Just concentrate on your studies.
Focus.
She went out to the movies.
That's rich coming from you.
You started about seven different uni degrees.
Hey, my bad, mate.
There's a time and a place for your zinger, and just you've got plenty to work with here.
Yes.
Wait till I tell you what's going on, and then you can go to town. I'll lead you in, and then you can go bang. So she went to the movies, and I was like, "Who'd you go to the movies with?" She just said, "This boy." I'm like, "Oh, yeah. Sweet."
Yeah.
Then I found out over the weekend. You know, when your daughter, you want them to be, you can go out with like a kid that studies hard. He wants to be a doctor or a lawyer. Someone just, you know, you don't want a bikie. You don't want any of this. And especially me, I do not want a football player.
No, tell me.
I do not want my daughters to date a football player.
She could have gone out with an Uber Eats driver or something.
I would have been heaps happier. We would have got discounts. I would have been wrapped. I literally, all my life, I've been saying, my kids, just as long as they don't go with the footy player.
And?
She's going out with a football player.
No.
Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing.
Oh, Fev, what team?
What are you laughing at?
The irony.
I know what those little terrors do.
Oh, no.
I've been around a football club.
A-League? Is he in the
big
boys?
Yeah, he plays for, he plays for St Kilda.
Oh, gosh, Fev, what's happened to you?
I'm not happy about it, Boxy.
I bet you're not happy. I bet you're not happy.
What is it with St Kilda and schoolgirls? What the hell is going on with that club?
All right. Almost dumped that.
What? It was a question, mate.
Well, he's 18, so, yeah. So they're the same age.
Oh, dear.
But I don't know what to do.
I don't know. Look,
do I power play?
Like you said, and I think anyone who's a parent, and obviously the three of us, we've all got very small children at the moment, this isn't in the near future for us. But I get it. Like you just even said, we all don't want to discriminate and we all pretend we're not judgmental. But
oh, no,
let's be honest.
There. I've lived that life.
I know. But let's be honest.
You shouldn't be laughing this much.
There would be parents that don't necessarily want to see a heavily tattooed man come in the front door with their daughter. Or, you know, it can be whatever your worst nightmare is. And this would be absolutely, Fev, your worst nightmare, a footballer.
Oh, I know. He's a footballer. And it's, you know, and I said it to Alex and she's like, well, she's like her mother. We're both from the same area. We both played for the same team, got drafted to different teams. It's not well.
Oh, no.
Okay.
He's a bloody footballer, Dave.
You know what would be worse? If he kicks more goals than you.
No, there's no chance of that.
He might be better than you.
He's got no chance.
Actually, you're so true. He might be better than you.
Oh, well, that's a problem I don't have.
Okay. 13-10-60. Have you or are you going through what Fev's gone through? And maybe you can help Fev. Maybe you can empathise. Tell him it's okay. It'll be a short-lived relationship. They usually are when they're 18. But 13-10-60, did your son or daughter bring home your worst nightmare?
Okay,
what happened?
How
bad did
good.
It go? This will be like a good life lesson for you, Fev.
I do need a little help. And he's in the twos at the moment, so it might not be a long career. So.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
So just before the break, guys, I just let you in on a little bit of information that's going on in the Favola house. I've come home from work, been told by my daughter, my worst nightmare, let's be honest, that she's dating a footballer.
Not just any footballer, a St Kilda footballer.
Yes, AFL footballer. So, brutal. Absolutely
brutal. Or is it just desserts? Like, is it, this is...
The karma train coming around?
Yeah, absolutely the karma train. And I think it is so funny, though, that I love that, and particularly with dads, when you become a parent, guys become parents, they go, no, I don't want any guy anything like me around my daughter. It's an interesting evolution.
Mate, 100%. If years from now Freddie goes out with a comedian, he's not 7 foot in my house.
Yeah.
I'm the funniest man in my house. You will get out.
Elizabeth,
so true.
In Altona. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Elizabeth, did your son or daughter bring home your worst nightmare?
My daughter did.
Who did she bring home?
Sorry?
Who did she bring home?
Fev, no.
She brought home, she was in year 12, and she brought home a chap that had tattoos, earrings, excuse me, and yes, just wasn't the best type of person that we wanted for her.
So you still choke when you're talking about it?
Oh, I've got a bit of a flu at the moment.
Well,
there's
that. Maybe you're allergic to him.
I mean, tattoos and earrings, though, let's be real. Well, no, I mean, that's every guy in Melbourne.
Elizabeth, out of interest, because often that you can have the bad first impression, but they can win you over. Sure. How did it play out?
Exactly. At first she said, oh, don't worry, Mum, the tattoos and all, you know, he's a really nice chap. And I thought, okay, give this guy a go. And he was nice and he was lovely. And then we just found out a few little past histories down the track and it didn't turn out very good.
Did she realise that, Elizabeth, herself?
It took about a year or so, but finally, yes, we did realise. She did realise.
It's like that movie that just got released. It's Why Him? You know, when they're
like, no, that's hilarious. That was very good.
Very funny movie.
James Franco's in there.
I don't like James Franco.
Okay. Sorry about that. Move on. Next caller.
Good chat.
Alina in Dandenong North. Hi, Alina.
Hi, Phoebe, Dave, Sarah and Byron. How are you guys this morning?
Good. Great
good
branding.
Good roll call.
Good marketing.
Alina, did your child bring home your worst nightmare?
Actually, no. My son's actually 8 years old, but I actually brought someone home that my mum hated, like hated with a passion.
Here we go.
So she used to work at Coles Online and I was working with her. I was about 20, 21 and she told me how much she hated this dude. Like he was just horrible to people. So I was like, oh, okay. And then I actually found him on a dating site. Yeah. And then I brought him home after going out on a few like dates and all that sort of stuff. And I walked in the house and I showed my mum the license. I'm like, look who I have at the front door. She looked at the license. She looked at me and she's like, get him off my front porch now.
Whoa.
She's like, get out. She's like, I don't want him here. She's like, don't see him. She's like, get him off. She was so angry.
Bad boys.
It didn't last. But nothing. She's like, she just said, get him off the porch. So I was speaking to him and she literally just shut the door and like just walked away. She couldn't handle it. She's like, I don't want him here. She's like, I don't want to speak to him. I don't want to see him.
What was wrong with this guy? So far, all he's done is work at Coles Online.
No, do you know what?
I mean, what's so bad about that?
But it's not just that Alina brought home the type of guy that her mum didn't like. It was actually a guy her mum didn't like.
Right, the actual guy.
The mum busted him scanning like $40 meats and only putting onions on the checkout swipe.
No, that is a boss. That is a fiscally sensible man.
It's 8:23.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Over to the US now, and the White House finally has a First Lady. Unlike every other First Lady in history, Melania Trump delayed her move into the President's residence until the past weekend, so she's only just moved in. She instead stayed in the New York Trump Towers for the last few months, so their 11-year-old son, Barron, could finish his elementary schooling. That's a good idea.
Fair enough.
You want consistency with your kids' schooling. To talk about the move, we have the President himself, Donald Trump, on the line. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Trump.
It's all over, guys. Bachelor pad is done for.
Oh, so you, Mr. Trump, you're not happy that your wife and your youngest child are coming to stay with you?
No, not really. I mean, I had everything laid out the way I like it. I'm going to have to move all of my assistants out. definitely assistants, not mistresses. If you say they are, that's fake news.
Yeah, but surely you knew they were coming. I mean, did you not know the date that your son would finish elementary school?
Are you serious? Jesus, I can't even remember things like that. I'm in my 70s. To be honest, I never thought I could have kids at this age. That's why I called him Barron. That's what I thought my two little Trumpsicles were.
But, Mr. Trump, won't the house feel more homely with your family there?
Yeah, maybe. But the thing is, I like doing things a certain way, and I'll change all of that. Like, you know, Melania hates the things I like to watch on TV.
What, like sport?
No, reruns of me on The Apprentice. I think I get better on the 50th viewing, if you're going to be honest.
Yeah, but how good would a woman's touch be? It would make your home feel lived in.
Yeah, but at the moment, you know, it's got good feng shui, okay? I don't know what that word is. I think it comes from China. But, Even Vladimir Putin agrees. He doesn't want to change anything. When I told him Melania's moving in, he said not to move any of the presents he gave me and make sure all of them have clear lines of sight to me, especially in classified meetings.
That seems a little bit suspect.
Sorry. Sorry, look, I gotta go. Melania just found my secret stash. Honey, that could be anyone's FBI surveillance of hot A-list female movie stars, okay?
Okay, there he goes. He's going to have to go now.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
So on Queen's birthday Monday, guys, one of the great marks of the year, and they're saying all time happened, Jeremy Howe for the Pies rose above the pack and took a big mark. So
it's a screamer.
It was a screamer. I mean, he was up there, but he actually got elevation off the shoulders and pumped himself up again, which made it look pretty cool. And he takes one of these all the time. He takes one probably every week. But this one, they're saying easy mark of the year,
yeah,
almost mark of the century.
Whoa.
They're saying. So they've had comparisons in today's Herald Sun. They've got like the top 20 marks.
Yeah.
And I was sitting at home and I thought, there's only one person you probably need to ask about this. Mm. And he used to take them all the time. One of Byron's mates.
Mr. Warwick. Kappa.
Not bad. I took better marks than Jeremy at training, eh? To be honest, I took about 10 a week. A bit like Jizalinka. Now it's Kappa! Every kid says it for the last 50 years. What a mark. I was out there for 6 hours, to be honest. I got a phone call. It was air traffic control. Please get out of the airspace. There's a 747 coming. Kick 405. Got best player in. We lost by 98 points. But that was irrelevant.
Wow. Wow. Wow, we.
What just happened, Fox?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Hey, yesterday there was a lot of talk about the list that came out that was released from the government. They revealed to newspapers and press the top 10, well, I guess there was a bigger list than that, but I've got the top 10 in front of me, suburbs in Australia for dole bludging. And it does, it did seem a little bit harsh.
Well, they named and shamed him.
Yeah, they named
it's
and
so
shamed
harsh.
Him. It's rough. So harsh because I thought on the project last night, we were speaking to the mayor of Caboolture, because Caboolture, unfortunately, those guys came out very badly. They
up
were number one.
They were
in
Mildura.
In Queensland. And as he Queensland. Rightly said.
I thought Mildura was number one.
Mildura is number three and the number one Victorian.
You can still do it, Mildura.
But in a note,
you can make number one. You keep working at it or doing the opposite.
The Caboolture mayor, he made a really good point when he said, it's fine to have a list in a paper and the headlines all dole bludgers in our city, but the kids in that suburb then go to school and then maybe for whatever reason their dad or their mum's been let off work and we all face our own struggles. But then if there's that little, you know, in school kids and playgrounds can be harsh, and then the other can be, is your dad one of the dole bludgers? Is your mum a dole bludger?
But I think with Mildura and also Frankston, their growth at the moment is massive, and there's not enough jobs for the amount of people that are moving to that town.
Well, there's lots of factors that come
Didn't put that into fact. Did you?
Mm. No.
Well,
think about it.
You know what, Fev? I was even thinking this because, you named Frankston. Another suburb that's been, I think, unfairly maligned is Werribee. They came in at number 6.
Well, they do have a tip there. It doesn't smell good.
Well, there's
a sewage farm there.
It's a lovely spot, Werribee.
My mum lives there.
I like it.
Mate, we know they're all working because only about 10 of them turned up to the gig Fev and I put on. So they must have all been at work. There's no other excuses.
Don't worry, I've got a gig in Frankston tonight.
And we know they haven't got jobs there. Plenty of people better turn up.
I think that these are suburbs. Frankston and Werribee have been very unfairly maligned. This isn't fair.
100%.
These are great suburbs, and so much so, let's dedicate a segment we do often here on the show. We call it our Suburban Smackdown. Let's do it between Frankston and Werribee. And basically, if you don't know what happens in this segment, if you're from one of these suburbs, maybe you work in one of these suburbs, you get to call in and tell Melbourne why your suburbs are awesome and why they're better than the other.
I hope my mum doesn't ring up.
I hope Kaz
Please
calls
don't ring
us.
Kazza.
Here we go. Yeah. 13, 10, 60.
So come on. Well, I've already mentioned Werribee. You've got a zoo. You've got the mansion.
Correct.
I mean, Frankston, you're close to the beach. You've got a great beach
great
there.
Great beach, great pier.
I love the beach there at Frankston. Actually, and you know, you've got that park next
you've
to the beach.
You've got Cheeky Squire. Where there's opens tomorrow.
Yeah, that's where you're doing your gig tonight. That's correct.
Cashies.
New establishment down there in Frankston.
Someone's getting work down in Frankston.
But am I right, though? In Frankston, in that little park by the beach, because I went to see, and you get the sand sculptures every summer.
Yes, you should see some of the houses actually in Frankston South. They're absolutely beautiful.
On the point. They're unbelievable. Okay. Graham Kennedy used to live there.
There you go.
Graham's from there.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, there you go. 131060. We will not cop this. Come on, Melbourne. Get behind our suburbs, Frankston and Werribee. It's a suburban smackdown.
We'll take your calls after this on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. Suburbs,
suburbs. Today, it's
Frankston.
Taking on
Werribee.
Frankston in the suburban smackdown, and we're actually feeling for both suburbs this morning because we did see yesterday a report came out, the top 10 doll bludging suburbs in Australia, and they outed Frankston and Werribee. We think that is harsh. There are lots of reasons for why those suburbs came up in that list, and I think it's unfair. I think these are great suburbs. There are Melbourne Victorian suburbs, and we're right behind you. So we've got Robbo from Werribee. Are you there, Robbo?
Yeah, mate, I'm here.
Robbo, it's Smackdown time. Can you tell, and particularly the government, for releasing these unfair stats, why Werribee's so amazing?
Mate, Werribee's amazing. We've got Werribee South Beach. We've got the Werribee Plaza. We just had millions of dollars upgraded.
The plaza, you're right, the plaza.
Millions of dollars, bro.
There we go. And you've got a beach. And you both have beaches. It's very unfair.
Yeah, mate, Seth needs to move back to Werribee, mate. Show the true support of how it's done.
Yeah.
Good point.
Move back to Werribee.
Yeah.
I have to live there,
mate,
to go back there.
You don't even live in Deer Park, mate. What's Deer Park?
Yeah, I don't live in Deer Park either, bro. I live on the nice beach of Brighton.
Whoa. You grew up in Narre Warren. Your mum lives in Werribee. And I think Robbo was saying you could move in with your mother.
Can you play for Melbourne South?
No, because Robbo just got a few things mixed up. Because I played for Deer Park doesn't mean I live in Deer Park.
Well, he's just trying.
Guys, anyway, I know your little radio rules have tried to be the common man, but he's not. He's very successful. So he might as well let people know.
Corinne in Frankston. Hi, Corinne.
Hey, how you going?
Good, Corinne. We think Frankston's been hard done by, along with Werribee. So why is Frankston so great?
Frankston's great because I have bloody the best coffee by the bay, among other things. All free activities, coffee from morning to seafood.
Maybe.
Who doesn't like a latte when you're having a bit of crayfish?
Yeah, very good point. Thank you so much for your call, Corinne. Let's keep pushing through. Another Werribee fan here.
What about the line down in Frankston?
Yeah, reception. Unfortunately, not great. But Callum. Oh, no, sorry, Harley in Werribee. Hi, Harley.
How you doing?
Good, Harley. Talk up Werribee.
So Werribee's got probably the finest food in Melbourne.
Fev, you can't laugh at that claim.
No. In fact, Fev's mum, she works.
My mum's an awful cook.
Well, there's a place in Werribee that's actually won, like, multiple gold medals at fine food awards and all that stuff. Not many people know about it.
Give it a plug, Harley. What's it called?
Well, it's called The First Pig.
The First Pig? Yeah. I like it.
There we go.
Check that place out. It's won gold medals at like fine food awards and everything.
Yes, as you mentioned. Thank you, Harley. Wow.
If The First Pig are listening, saunter down.
Yeah.
We'll go down there.
Now we're flicking over to the other side. We have Callum in Frankston. Hi, Callum.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, not bad, Callum. Frankston, it's been hard done by in the press. Let's talk
I think
up
so,
to
yeah.
him that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually got one of the best train stations in all of Melbourne, I think, actually.
I love it.
He bought a train station.
Hey, Flinders Street, cop on that one. Southern Cross, eat a big one.
You make a compelling point, Callum. Look, we could have gone all morning
who
with
wins?
This.
We've got to have a winner.
Who wins, mate?
Should we call it a tie?
You can't have a tie.
Both suburbs have copped at these suburbs.
Frankston and Werribee, they've both copped it in the press. It's not fair. They are great suburbs.
Where would you rather live?
Honestly, don't sit on the fence. I'm very comfortable on my fence. Thank you very much.
I'll go Frankston.
Well, I'll live in the Werribee Mansion. There you go.
Oh, relatable.
Just in the mansion.
Way to slum it there, hey? You're going to call a free-range zoo all your pets? Is that how this works out?
This Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron catch-up gives you the freedom to hear your favourite show wherever, whenever. With Jeep's Freedom Days, get an amazing finance offer across the range until June 30. See jeep.com.au for details. Conditions apply.